Have you tried to buy a car lately and thought to yourself, there's gotta be a better way? Guess what? There is. Don't put yourself through the agony. There's a new way to buy a car, and it's called TrueCar.com. At TrueCar.com, you can actually see what others paid for the car you're looking to buy in your area, so you know when you're getting a great price. At TrueCar.com, you get a savings certificate. Take it to a True Car certified dealer, and you won't need to worry about the hassle and anxiety that comes with the old way of buying a vehicle. True Car users save an average of $3,000 off MSRP. An average. If you're ready to buy a car, why wouldn't you go to TrueCar.com right now? Negotiation-free, guaranteed savings, a hassle-free experience, and a True Car certified dealer that is committed to a new and better way to buy a car. Save time, save money, never overpay. Visit TrueCar.com today.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. Ty Hildenbrand here, Dan Rubenstein. Dan Rubenstein not with me this evening. Dan Rubenstein off preparing for SB Nation's NFL Draft extravaganza. He'll be back next week, though, fear not. He'll be back to talk college football, give you his normal amount of wit and charm and all the fun stuff. In the meantime, though, the show must go on. Look us up on Facebook, on FanCred, and, of course, on the Twitters. Drop us a line, solidverbal@gmail.com. Find the website at solidverbal.com. And listen, if you like what we're doing, trust me when I say it helps us immensely if you go on out to iTunes and give us a rating or a review. At the very least, you can help out by telling a friend about our show. There are tens of thousands of folks already on the bandwagon here. Certainly there is room for more. We'd love to have more people aboard to further the college football discussion. Tell them to check out our site, solidverbal.com. I want to get right into this. With Dan out of pocket, I went through the Rolodex. I thought long and hard, who can we bring on the program who hasn't been on in a while? Who's a talker? Who's a straight shooter? Who's a friend of the show above all else? Our guest of honor this evening, very pleased to welcome back to the show from the Patriot News, a gentleman by the name of Mr. David Jones. Sir, welcome back.
I am a friend of the show. I'm a big, big fan. I'm a friend and a fan.
I understand that someone else is listening into this interview as well.
Rocco, yeah, my German Shepherd. He has nothing really to say, and he doesn't care about recruiting. But I like him, you know.
All right. So if we hear any stray barks, we'll know that's why.
No, he's very placid. He won't hear anything out of him. Maybe a little panting. He likes to pant when he wants to be noticed. We call it unnecessary panting. He's doing it right now, but that's it.
All right. Well, you cover Penn State football about as closely as anyone out there. And I want to go back a couple months, actually maybe like a year. Bill O'Brien flirts with the NFL once. Everyone sees it coming that eventually it would seem he's going to bolt for the NFL. From reading your work, though, it always felt to me like you saw that move to the NFL as a little more imminent than others. Is that a fair statement?
Well, I don't know about others. I saw it as very imminent. I thought it would be either be after last season or after this one. For sure, one or the other.
What were his primary frustrations? I know you've detailed that time and time again.
I think the main thing was that he is just an NFL guy. He was headed in that direction. That's where his compass was headed anyway. That's absolutely the main thing. It would have taken some sort of uncommon persuasion to, I think, keep him around. That said, you know, the way this place is, the way Penn State is, you know, it's kind of dysfunctional all the time, it seems like. And he just didn't have any use for the college, the university politics that play a part in every university, believe me. I mean, if you cover higher education, as, you know, actually my best friend did for a long time at Ohio State, you know what it's about. And no matter how much a football coach is paid, that guy is always caught up and that crap. And Bill just didn't have any use for any of it. He just wanted to be a football coach. He wasn't even very good at the other stuff, the glad handing, the handshaking, the speeches. He didn't really have any use for any of that. He faked it fairly well for a while, but his contempt for the PR part was pretty apparent too. So he wants to be an NFL coach. He always did. Everyone knew that, not just me.
You inadvertently became part of the story when you published a conversation you had with O'Brien. Was there any fallout from that, from publishing a conversation? I don't know if it was off the record. It didn't bother me because I'm nosy and I like behind the scenes information.
No, none of it. Only two little tiny pieces of it were off the record. The fact that at one point he told me, and that's why in about a month they're going to be looking for a new expletive football coach. And then about 20 minutes later, I asked him, "You're not really leaving, are you?" And he goes, "No, I'm not leaving." So those were the two. You know, I put those in to show how conflicted he really was. And at that point, he was. It was December 4th. And it was not certain at all whether he was going to leave at that point. And the problem was I had both of those pieces of information off the record.
Sure.
And at the time, I didn't feel like I could get, there was all sorts of other stuff. And he said, "You can print this. You can print this." When he vented his frustrations with some of the hardline Paterno devotees who seem more concerned with that than anything else. Not that they're not concerned with the current football team, or not that they didn't like Bill O'Brien. I think all of them did, or almost all of them did. His frustrations were based on the fact that he just wanted out of all this that he wanted everyone to row in sequence. And that didn't seem possible. I think that was the main thing. And I was actually calling him to try to pry out of him exactly what had happened to Ron Vanderlinden.
Right.
That's why I called. Who had been fired, and the university didn't really say anything about whether he was fired or left, or it was very unclear. It turned out to be partly a human relations problem that they had to keep that from everybody, or Ron wouldn't have gotten paid if there had been some violations. So neither Ron nor Bill was going to speak a word about it. That's what I was trying to get at. And in the interim, I said something about, he was like, why do you need to know this in the first place? And I said, well, you know, a lot of the devotees of the previous regime are a little bit ticked about this. And they were. Not a ton of people, but a certain percentage. And, you know, that it was an interesting story. I wanted to know exactly why. And that's when he went off. I mean, he just went, he really had some pent up rage and he let it out. And at that point he said, "You can print this. You can print that I don't give a blah, 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 blah about the Paterno people or any of those people. You know, I'm here to coach football." And that's the stuff that I printed a month later. I didn't print it at the time.
Sure.
Because had I done it, he would have been forced out the door, and then I would have put myself in the middle of the story. I would have been the lever that catapulted him out of there, because if I had printed all that stuff then,
yeah,
the place would have gone nuts. You know, he would have been forced to leave. I wanted it to be his decision, and I didn't want to be part of that story. I wanted it to be all his decision either way.
So, all right, Paterno people, I believe you've called them Jobots in the past in reading.
At one point I did.
Some of your work, which I like that. That's clever. Where are we at now? What's the state of the Penn State program? You mentioned dysfunction.
I think, ironically, you know, a lot of that is easing out. I think, you know, all it takes is a lot of great recruiting to get everyone rowing in stream, you know?
Yeah.
and I think James Franklin's recruiting prowess and his ability to recruit fans, you know, he's a salesman. This guy is an intense salesman. And he knows how to talk, has managed at this point, without anyone playing a game for him yet,
right,
to make everyone forget it, by and large, everything else. We'll see how that works out. You know, they haven't played a game yet.
You had some reservations about them hiring Franklin because of some of the baggage with, of course, the, I guess, the pending rape case down at Vanderbilt, and whatever association he may have had with that. James Franklin, though, in a vacuum, let's put that baggage aside for a second, given his propensity to be that salesman, to go out and recruit as well as he has, is he, again, in that vacuum, better for the health of the Penn State football program long-term than someone like Bill O'Brien?
That's an interesting question. I thought they couldn't have gotten a better guy than Bill O'Brien. You know, straight shooter, no BS, just a football coach. I don't know that they could have possibly held on to him. Maybe a little longer than they did, but if he was getting that offer, man, he was out of here. I don't know yet, Ty. I mean, yeah. I don't know if James Franklin's going to be a good X and O coach, if he's going to be able to. He's got these, from what I've heard from our recruiting gurus, he's recruiting some serious talent. So when you recruit serious talent, sometimes those guys come with egos. How will he manage that? What kind of ambitions does he have down the road? We don't know that either. If he is a big success, you know, Penn State is not a destination job necessarily for a guy who has hit huge success at 44 or 45 years old. Maybe he wants to take a shot at the NFL. So we don't know any of that. I can't tell yet. I mean, I certainly can't tell until they play some games.
He certainly does seem to have more a flavor for the other aspects of being a college football coach.
Oh my God.
You know, the shaking hands and kissing babies. He's all over that.
If, you know, Patrick Chambers, the basketball coach, was a salesman in his prior career, this guy could sell anything. I mean, he is a talker. He is a salesman. That's what recruiting is, man. It's sales. It's getting you to feel good about yourself and to feel good about the salesman. And you put that in the nexus, man, it's powerful stuff. And boy, he's got that. He's full of pizzazz, full of fizz. So he's got that covered, man. And, you know, it's an important time for Penn State to be able to recruit with Maryland and Rutgers coming aboard.
Sure.
Because, you know, people laugh at that, especially Midwesterners. I'll tell you who's not laughing. It's people who know about where Penn State gets its talent.
Sure.
Most of its talent. It's Jersey and Maryland and the Mid-Atlantic that Larry Johnson owned for a decade. And he's now at Ohio State.
Sure.
Well, Rutgers and Maryland, they're dysfunctional now. But now that they're in the Big Ten, if there comes a time where they get the right guys, and I don't think they have the right guys now, Randy Edsall and Kyle Flood, but if there comes a time when they do get the right guys, you know, Kevin Plank at Maryland, that guy's got the wherewithal, if he wants to be the Phil Knight of the East.
Sure.
Under Armour czar. So you've got unlimited money and funds out of that place. Rutgers in a totally different situation because they're in a different financial situation, partly because, you know, Greg Schiano, who was there before, demanded almost everything under the sun and got it. And, you know, I don't know where they are financially as far as hiring a big name coach. Maybe we get Schiano back. Who knows?
Well, you know, but who knows where he'll be?
Wouldn't that be something?
Who knows where he'll be in a few years? I do know from watching.
He's just hanging out for a year right now. So,
sure.
You know.
I do know from watching the Rutgers spring game that they set football back about 50 years.
Yeah,
so if that's
got,
any,
they got Gary Nova, and who's the guy behind him? He like went 0-9.
Yeah, I mean it was not exactly the kind of explosive showing you want to see in a game against your own team.
I only heard about it. I did not call it up on demand. I got to admit, but yeah. So look, I know they're both dysfunctional, but there's heavy duty talent in both of those areas. Now that they're in the Big Ten, if they get each one of them gets the guy, a guy like James Franklin, as far as recruiting, look out. Because they could finally, I think, keep their own home talent. And there's a lot of talent there to be had. A lot of it.
What was your initial reaction to hearing that Rutgers and Maryland were coming into the Big Ten?
The funny part is I've been stumping for Rutgers for like over 20 years.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. I used to write, you know, everyone assumed back in 1990 that there was going to be a 12th team after Penn State was invited aboard. And I was yelling in the wind to anyone who would listen, who was zero, who was nobody. The one guy's fear I had was Fred Gruninger, athletic director back then, and he thought I knew something, and he kept calling me all the time, saying, "Hey, you hear anything from Delaney?" And I said, "Fred, dude, I mean, I'm just this guy in Harrisburg. I don't know anything." And I was not shocked about Rutgers. I was stunned about Maryland. I thought that was Maryland had always been part of the ACC in title, but not in attitude. So I guess some of us should have seen it coming. But they were always kind of a stepsister, and it felt that way, I think, to the rest of the ACC, especially the Virginia and Carolina schools. So I guess we should have seen it coming, but boy, I didn't see it coming. And I wouldn't have believed that.
So James Franklin's now on the road. He's doing his coach's caravan. I believe he was in New Jersey, where he said he considers that essentially an extension of PA. It's quote-unquote in-state for Penn State.
Yes.
Ever the salesman. I wonder from your perspective, because I know you had some reservations. You wanted Mike Munchak for Penn State instead of James Franklin because of some of that baggage. But were you more surprised that a coach as prominent as Franklin would take the Penn State job, given the state of the program? Or were you more surprised that Penn State would hire James Franklin at all, given that baggage?
Well, I knew from the get-go. I knew on December 23rd, I think, I printed the story mentioning him as the one guy they wanted, above all else, their major candidate. So, and that was before O'Brien was even out to shoot.
Right.
So I wasn't surprised by that time. And he's young, and he's, you know, fairly unproven time. I mean, he's had Vanderbilt, and that's basically it. So, no, I wasn't surprised that he would be interested. He's a Pennsylvania native, too. He was quarterback at East Stroudsburg. I believed in Mike Munchak because I think this program needs some quiet. And I thought anything could happen in that rate trial in Nashville. You can't vet a trial completely. I mean, you can try, but you don't know what's going to come out of any trial. Nobody does. Even the lawyers involved don't always know.
Sure.
So, you know, if he has to go down there and testify, do they want to deal with all that? And the DA down there has said repeatedly that he's clean as far as everything they know, and that's fine. I personally just would not have wanted to deal with my own tension and nervousness. That's what I said. Now, Dave Joyner and Rod Erickson, who's out the outgoing president, should know more than I do. They should. And they made this choice. They have vetted this guy completely and totally and had investigators going over everything. The DA in Nashville says he's clean. Fine. I would just go in a direction, A, where I know there's going to be stability in a guy who's going to stay. And I think Mike Munchak would have stayed for the rest of his career. I think he loves Penn State. I think they needed that at this point, rather than another guy in the coaching carousel coming in here and maybe leaving in 3 years. I think that would be good for the program at this point. Not necessarily when O'Brien was hired. I mean, he was a perfect hire at the time because he was a guy who kept everything simple and did a wonderful job getting them through some really turbulent times. At this point, this is a different hire. And I think Munchak could have been not nearly as good a recruiter, but a good recruiter of offensive linemen, and they could have turned this place into Wisconsin. And, I mean, you know he could have recruited offensive linemen. He's
sure
arguably the best offensive lineman in the NFL in the last 34 years. I mean, he's one of them. He could have done that. You could have always been competitive. If you got a great offensive line, you can always be competitive, which is what Wisconsin has done. And you fill in the gaps. Wisconsin's never had a great quarterback other than Russell Wilson for 1 year. So that was my idea. Maybe I'll be proven completely wrong, but that was my rationale.
What other names were in the running that Penn State you felt was serious about if Franklin wouldn't have been the guy and Munchak would have fallen through?
Al Golden very much wanted the job. That's what I would call. And I've got that on pretty good authority. He was very, very interested. And he was never offered the job, which was reported a few places.
Sure.
He was their favorite, and I don't think he was ever their favorite. He was interviewed, but he was never offered the job, or he would have taken.
Interesting.
So he's the most prominent. And they targeted Franklin from the get-go because, for one reason, Dave Joyner's son had a very close association with him, knew all about him. Their families had a close association from back in the East Stroudsburg days. So Dave knew about him. And, you know, in retrospect, I believe that was always their favorite. He was always their favorite. They got who they wanted. They didn't need that many candidates.
So have you started looking at all at 2014? Or I look forward to the Dave Jones prediction column every year. Where do you stand on this team now as we head into the new football season?
Well, their offensive line does not look good.
No, it doesn't.
And
it doesn't.
I don't know how you get by that.
Maybe can they hire Mike Munchak as an offensive line coach?
No disrespect,
by the way, to our friend Herb Hand, who is a longtime Solid Verbal fan and a great coach in his own right. Herb could use some help.
Yeah, God knows if they lose Donovan Smith somehow. I mean, what are they going to do? And Miles Diffenbach has been cuffed up, and they. I don't know that you can coach up offensive linemen that well that quickly. So it will be one hell of a job if he manages to make something out of this. I think you're just hoping that Christian Hackenberg doesn't get hurt and hope to get through it without any problem there and get to 6-6 and be done with the season, because offensive line, this is an early look at it, okay? That's where I think they're headed. Because the offensive line is not in good shape. And you need that. You need it badly when you got a really good quarterback. I just keep it healthy. However you can do it.
Move on to the next. Your early May in the car with a German Shepherd prediction is the offensive line looks bad. We can submit that. That'll work, Dave.
Yeah.
He also loses Allen Robinson. You know, there's a coaching staff, a new coaching staff in place now. So there is going to be a transition period for Penn State, no doubt about that. What is the likelihood that we will see further reductions of sanctions?
I have always heard all along for the last year that the bowl sanctions would eventually be lifted, maybe both years.
Yeah.
Certainly the one from 2015, the post-2015 bowl season,
and
maybe in this season. But I would expect that they're going to wait and see what emerges from Nashville in the middle of the summer and hedge their bets. Even though one should have nothing to do with the other, I think they want to see what kind of guy James Franklin is. I would bet that, because it's all about politics and what looks good. And Penn State's compliance with the sanctions should have nothing to do with that. I'm just saying I think it might. And that's just my opinion, nothing that I know. So I don't know. I think they were on the track to get that accomplished, and they might well still. That would be the one thing, that where they're headed in the right direction. As far as scholarships, I don't know. I don't know that that's going to happen, but the way Franklin's recruiting now, I don't know that it's all that important. In the next couple of years, they're going to be back to normal. So I think bowls are overrated anyway. If you're a salesman, you got a guy who can recruit. You don't need stinking flea bag bowls.
Well, they're playing their bowl game in Ireland this year.
Yeah, right. Going there. I've just always thought that as common as bowls are now, I don't even think it matters. And they're not. It's not like they're going to go to a major bowl with this kind of talent right now, anyway. So, does it matter? Does it matter? Yes, you can go to the Heart of Dallas Bowl this year. Congratulations. That's going to recruit kids. I don't think so.
All right. Well, here's what I did before we brought you on this evening. I put a call out on Twitter, and I said, tweet us your questions. People didn't tweet, but they did email. So I've got a couple here that I think are up your alley. I want to start with the union situation, the union ruling at Northwestern. You wrote an article about where you stand on matters here, and you brought up a good point Your point was that a union is only as strong as its members. And so we had a couple questions here asking about the unions. What does Dave think about the unions? Is it going to stick? I will ask you very broadly, where does this whole union thing that we saw at Northwestern go next? And do you see it lasting beyond just this one news bulletin?
You know, I'm probably the wrong direct guy to ask that. But whenever I don't have a wealth of knowledge in a subject, I call a bunch of people and I learn stuff. And the attorneys and the people involved in law that I talk to believe that a door has been opened that just won't be closed.
Yeah.
Now, I personally don't think it's at all. The Northwestern players voted, was it last week or the week before? I think it was a couple of weeks ago. And those results will be sealed for a while. I don't think it's a slam dunk at all that they voted for yes for unionization. I don't. I think there was a lot of leaning on them by Pat Fitzgerald, which I thought was wrong. I don't know why he's doing that, why he's getting mixed up in it, except for maybe hoping for his own job security and his bosses would want him to do that. And he had, what, a 1-7 season last year in the Big Ten? Where did they finish? I can't remember. I think that was right.
Yeah,
and
he's
had a couple of rough years. I don't know why he would become mixed up in that. And right now it's about private schools, not public institutions, because the National Labor Relations Board only handles them right now. That said, I think eventually you're going to have a group, a mass of students, student athletes, as we say, who are going to believe in this cause. And there will be enough of them that it won't matter that a lot of them are leaving. It'll be like a machine where the parts are interchangeable, but the machine keeps going because that's the culture that's been created, if you follow me.
Sure.
So that has to happen first before this is irreversible. So the legal people I talked to believe that this opened the door for it and it's not going to be reversed. I have some reservations. I think, you know, when you're all your clientele, when your main people in the union change every 4 years or five at most, what kind of unionization, what kind of union in the strictest sense of the word do you really have? You can't be that together. It's much different than a pro union
right. In
pro sports where guys can be there 12 or 15 years or any other kind of job where guys might work their whole lives. It's much different. I want to see that before I believe it.
All right. Another question here. How many times have you been to Madison, Wisconsin, Dave?
I would say eight
times. All right. So we've got a question here from a gentleman by the name of Andrew. He asked us, but I'm going to pose it to you since you've been there more than Dan and I combined for sure. He says he's getting married at the end of the month. We're going to get our parents tickets to a Badgers game as part of our gift to them. They're all big Wisconsin fans. They'll be excited to go to any game. However, because the mothers are wimps, it needs to be an early season game so it's not too cold out, which basically means that I need to choose between the following: a September 13th game against Bowling Green or a September 20th game against South Florida. Gun to your head, which of those games should I choose to send them to?
Bowling Green will be much more exciting because Matt Johnson's the quarterback.
Right, I was going to say
much better game.
I was going to say Bowling Green for sure, right?
Yeah, Bowling Green's going to be a much more interesting game. South Florida, see, I know a couple of the quarterbacks on both of those teams, so I know their situation. The part of last year, the quarterback at South Florida was Stephen Bench. He used to be at Penn State.
Sure.
And I'm still good friends with his dad, Steve. And, you know, last year was really, really rough there, and I don't think that's going to get turned around anytime soon. Bowling Green, on the other hand, had a big season.
Yep.
And Matty Ice was terrific. And so he's going to be there. This is this season, right? This season we're talking about?
Yep, this season.
Absolutely the Bowling Green game, yeah. That Bowling Green could win the game.
And see, here's the thing. Seeing as how we're both products of mothers at one point or another, I could tell you, at least on my account, that my mom would care more about the weather. Now, my mom loves sports. However, the weather would be a huge bummer if it were much colder than, I don't know, say 50-something degrees. So, clearly, if you can get the better game a week earlier in September, you put yourself in a better position to not let them down. Andrew.
Yeah, and anything can happen in Madison that time of year. I'm a huge Madison fan, by the way.
I've heard good things. I've never been.
Yeah, it's my favorite town in the Big Ten. My favorite road trip. I am a huge, huge fan. So any week, any football and weekend in Madison is a blast. The people are wonderful. They're full of fun. I can't endorse Madison more. So there's always that, no matter who you play.
All right, we're going to get you out of here on this. Again, this is David Jones from the Patriot News. As you know, we put people on what we call the uncomfort zone. We also do trivia. We're not going to do any of that here tonight. I do have a somewhat silly question, but it is one that makes you think. This one comes to us from a gentleman by the name of John. He says, two-part question. We'll answer the first part, Dave. He says, let's say instead of normal human fans of a school attending a game, they were replaced by the team's mascot. So, for example, instead of there being 90,000 human fans at the Swamp, there would actually be 90,000 Gators. My question to you is this. If you had to attend a game under these circumstances, to which stadium would you go? His suggestions are Georgia and Mississippi State because they're Bulldogs. You sort of know expect out of Bulldogs. My question back to John is, am I attending as a human or as one of these creatures that is also in attendance? Because clearly, I mean, you don't want it to be like a lion or like a wildcat. I don't want to sit in the stands with 80,000 things that could potentially eat me, Dave.
So can we have half of each mascot, or they have to all be the same thing?
He doesn't specify that they all have to be the same kind.
I want to see him mix it up. Don't you? I think Badgers and Wolverines is always a great, that's a great matchup. You know, a Wolverine's bigger, the Badger's just as scrappy, though. And they both want to fight. They both want to mix it up. I say 50,000 Badgers and 50,000 Wolverines in Michigan Stadium because it's a nice bowl and they can all interact. So you got 100,000 all on the same level. Anything can happen.
If you're a tough guy and you've got like one of those tribal arm tattoos, maybe go with Spartans. You'd probably fit in with Spartans. I'd be curious to get feedback from the listener base on this one. This is one of the more random questions we've ever gotten on the program, so consider yourself privileged, Mr. Jones, to be on the program.
Yeah, John's going to have to fill that in for himself. I'm not sure where he's going with that, but go crazy, John.
All right. Well, again, his name, David Jones. You can find his fine work over at the Patriot News. Always a pleasure, Mr. Jones. We'll have to have you on again at some point in the very near future.
Anytime, Ty. Where's your buddy? Where did he go?
Dan is off. He is off preparing for the SB Nation NFL draft show that they're doing.
Ah, yes. Okay. Where you got Manziel before I leave? More important, do you want him?
I kind of do. I don't think I want him like top 10, but I kind of think some team's going to get real antsy to make a splash. Maybe the Browns, because, you know, they're the Browns, and someone's going to take him. Top
they
four,
say he's not
going
to be in the top five now.
It depends what minute you hear that.
Yeah, but who is he? What do you want? What do you want out of your quarterback? And do you want this guy?
I think what people see in Manziel is obviously some sharp power that can sell tickets. They see a guy who can run around in the pocket. We saw it with Russell Wilson. We've seen it with some others in the league now. They're running around more. I don't know if he's got the body type to withstand that. You could probably compare him to Michael Vick more than anyone else in terms of his mobility and body size. I want to see him go early because I want to see him come into the league just to see what he can do. I'm really interested. More than anyone else, I'm more interested in Manziel than any of the other candidates out there.
Yeah, I am too. I don't want any part of him. I want to watch him, but if it's my team, I don't want any part of him. Any part of him. I think you got a better chance of winning a Super Bowl with Matt McGloin, and I'm not kidding.
He was good for the Raiders.
He'll do what you want him to do, and he'll study up, he'll book up, and he'll be the best he can be, and he knows his limitations. This guy doesn't seem to know his limitations. He's been the big show, and I think he wants to continue to be the big show. And he is fun to watch, man. He's a blast to watch, but I don't want any part of that. I was just curious what you're going to say, though.
He's won everywhere he's been, though.
Yeah, well, he hasn't been in the NFL.
No,
it's like. Driving a Lotus Exige out on the Jersey Turnpike. There's a lot of big vehicles out there. I think you can get hurt.
All right, there you have it one more time. That is David Jones from the Patriot News, friend of the program. Always good to have Dave on to talk all things Penn State and beyond. Also some random mascot topics, which I think we're going to have to get to the bottom of at a later point in time. Tonight's show brought to you in part again, by our friends over at Hulu Plus. With Hulu Plus, you can watch current season episodes of all your favorite shows like Modern Family, The Daily Show, and Scandal, Nashville, Lost, Doctor Who. There are a number of different shows that you can watch, including ad-free movies and kids' shows as well. Now more than ever, there is so much to watch out there. Take total control with Hulu Plus to stream these shows and thousands more as much as you want, whenever you want. It'll work on your computer, smart TV, Roku, Apple TV, Xbox, PS3, you name it, any streaming device you own, they can stream to it. Even watching your iPad or your phone while on the train, at work, at the dentist, in the bathroom, you name it. Block off a day to binge, stay home from work, use Hulu Plus. You'll also get access to originals that you can't get anywhere else. Check out the new show, Deadbeat. It debuted in early April. You can watch all 10 episodes now on Hulu Plus. It's a comedy about a pot-smoking guy who talks to ghosts. Who wouldn't want to see that? And it's all for free for 2 weeks if you use HuluPlus.com/verbal or click on the banner on our website, SolidVerbal.com. After that, it's just $7.99 a month to get your shows anytime, anywhere. That's only like a quarter a day, so it's a pretty good deal. One more time, if you're interested in a 2-week free trial, check out HuluPlus.com/verbal or click on the banner on our website, SolidVerbal.com. All right, so before we close out this abbreviated version of the Solid Verbal, Dan isn't here. And whenever Dan isn't here, we get tweets, we get emails, people saying, well, you've got an extra chair. Why don't you invite Mama Hildenbrandt back on the show? So sitting next to me now, for a few quick moments, 5 good minutes, we'll say, pleased to welcome Mama Hildenbrandt back into Solid Verbal Studios, back on the podcast. Mother's Day is coming up this weekend.
I'm looking very forward to
it. I need to watch what I say here.
I'm looking forward to spending time with my boy.
So are you going to watch the NFL draft? We just got done talking a little bit about Johnny Manziel. Are you going to watch the draft? Are you going to look for the suits? Like, where's your head at with this?
Usually I watch the draft, especially in the first couple rounds, but don't get me Manziel-ish.
Well, yeah, I mean, you'd take him first overall, right?
No. I'm not a fan of his.
Why? You don't like Johnny Football?
I don't like his attitude. He's a good player. I'm not taking any, you know, I'm not going to say
he's ready for the big time, though, Mom.
Nah, I don't think so.
No?
I think he's going to be like Michael Vick. You know, he's quick. He's whatever you want to say about him, but I think he's going to be real susceptible to injuries once these big guys start really taking him down.
So you think he should have stayed at school?
Well, I don't
know. As a former teacher of 35 years, you think, you clearly think he should have stayed in school.
Well, you know me. I always think they should have stayed in school. And I mean, I understand why they don't.
The guy can make millions of dollars, Mom. Why is he going to stay in school? What's the point of that?
I understand what you're saying, but you know me, I'm all about the education.
What's he going to study? Trigonometry? He's going to play football.
I know what you're saying, but I just feel like they're given this opportunity, and there's so many kids out there that are probably so much smarter, and they don't have the opportunity to get I'm beating a dead horse here.
You don't like him because you think he's a prima donna.
I do think he's a prima donna, and I just don't like his attitude.
I mean, you're being way too formal. Now that you've got a microphone in front of you, because there have been many mornings where I've talked to you and you've been spitting nickels about Johnny Manziel.
Yeah, but I'm on the air now, so I
You can unleash here. I've done it for 6 years.
No, I don't like his attitude. I just don't. I do think he is a prima donna, and I just don't like him.
So would you say you're rooting for him to fail then? I think so.
No, I'm not going to root for anybody.
Can we put that in your mouth then?
No, I'm not rooting for him to fail. I'm anxious to see what he does in the NFL. I want to see it first.
Okay, she's getting angry with me now, folks, for those who can't see in a non-visual medium. Who do you watch on draft night? Are you a Chris Berman fan still, or is he?
No, you know who I watch.
Oh, you watch Mel Kiper.
Yeah, why doesn't he get his hairstyle changed?
Mel Kiper.
Over time, I mean, you think maybe someone would tell him.
He's lost a little bit in the front.
He has, but
you know what I mean?
Man.
Like back in the day, it was sort of straight right across the hairline when he, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was straight across like it was lasered. And now it
seems like
he's got some holes in there now. It's not quite what it used to be.
He does. It's definitely thinned. But, you know, didn't anybody ever try to fix his hair?
A classic never dies, man.
I guess. I don't know. You know, I don't know. I'll be going back and forth between who I'm watching, I suppose. But I do get tired of it after a while.
Well, it's only one night. You know, one night of prime time and then two extra days of the three extra days, whatever it is of the NFL draft.
Well, so you find yourself tuning in just to see, you know.
Tomorrow night should be interesting. We'll be texting back and forth when Johnny Manziel goes top five.
Well, he's probably going to go top five. There's probably no question about him. But we had the conversation out there, possibility. What do you think? Do you think the Eagles might want him?
Oh, that'd be great.
Oh,
that'd
my
great.
God.
I told you, my secret theory is that Chip Kelly wants to draft everyone once committed to or interested in the University of Oregon.
Mm-hmm. Well, so this will be real interesting
to see. That would be that would set Philly ablaze.
Oh, my gosh. Would it ever? If they got rid of Foles and...
They traded Foles away. Could happen.
That's
my bold prediction. They're going to trade Foles and get Manziel. I think they like him.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I mean...
I'm not a draft Nick. We're not going to do draft coverage here.
Yeah, I know.
But I just wanted to get your hot takes on...
All right.
...on Johnny Manziel. That does it for the Solid Verbal this evening. One more time, it's solidverbal@gmail.com. If you're interested in sending us an email, feel free to find us on Facebook, on FanCred, and on Twitter. Look up the website at solidverbal.com. And by all means, let people know that you found us. Tell them to come to our website to join the other college football fans who are already here and further the college football discussion. Dan will be back next week. We'll talk more college football then. In the meantime, enjoy your weekends and stay solid.
Peace.